From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Blues Day recap. A little recap on the sports, and of course, we got the Home Run Derby going on right now. Speak on about it in about half hour from now. BleedBlueShow.com, audio archive episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Podcasts Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps. And I have to say, it feels good a little bit to be back on the Forum for the Fans after our, quarterly bye week. Last week we were on our bye week for the summer holiday. Our next bye week will be Labor Day week. So between July through the end of August, we will be, going hardcore through the summer for our squads, the KGYR squads, and of course, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, and the NBA, so on and so forth, NHL. So we're going to have some good dialogue, as this is a precursor to all the other episodes for the rest of the summer, because I'm looking forward to talking to Ranger Proud, RP, on our New York Rangers, of the signings and acquisitions that we had in free agency. We were not on when we had that, so we can have a dialogue about that. We'll talk with Ranger Proud on Tuesday night. Wednesday, of course, with the NBA, which is now, the Earthquake League out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Even before that, they had the annual mini tournament in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. They had the mini tournament in Sacramento, California, like on Monday and Tuesday before they all went to Las Vegas, all 32 teams. But I will say the NBA Summer League, we're going to have a lot to discuss with our New York Knicks, with Knickerbocker Avenue and the Fan Forum and the stakeholders on that platform on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Looking forward to that talk as I watch the two Knick games up until this point. We have another Knick game in the session by the time we get to Wednesday. But I had a good time watching those games. Got to see the rookies in action, and we'll definitely discuss that on Wednesday. And of course, I have missed a couple of the last Big Blue Roundtable episodes, talking Giants football, talking NFL. But we're going to do a little bit things different this summer with the football, because the month of July, we're going to talk two divisions each week in the month of July. So when Thursday comes around, we'll have a little bit of Giants news, because all this is going to get covered right before training camp. So on Thursday, we're going to have two divisions each week. Haven't picked them yet. Probably pick them on the fly on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Two NFL divisions. We'll discuss how we like the teams, who's going to win the divisions, who's not going to win the divisions. And on top of that, we're going to modify those picks as training camp goes along. So when we hit August, and we discuss our football team, the Giants, and we'll get our opinions on both sides of the ball, and, of course, special teams, the coaching, the management. We'll update those conference and divisional picks as we go. We'll just make the picks on the fly as we stand right now. But as far as sports right now, I got to say shout-outs to the young sister, Coco, who got ounced out of Wimbledon. And I thought that was one of the big surprises, or one of the big impressive things I've ever seen in my sports watch life as a fan. Watch sports for 30-plus years, and what she's been doing on the tennis court has been a remarkable at 15 years old. And the fact that I don't care if Venus says or people are saying that she wasn't playing up to her full potential, nonetheless, to do that and do it against her at Wimbledon was one hell of put your name on the map type of deal. Shout outs to Coco for the young tennis player, the 15-year-old. That's phenom top shit, man. Phenom stuff, man. I thought she was excellent in her matches over the weekend, and I think that should go without saying. I know you don't get brownie points or the world's not going to give you kudos because of you're 15 years old, but props to her, though. Props to her for doing what she's doing, putting the world, letting the world know how she does, doing her thing at Wimbledon at 50. I can't even think of what I was doing at 50. I mean, I know I was playing sports, but not competitively like that. I mean, I don't know any 15-year-old, regardless of the sport, basketball, football, doing it what she did against professionals. I thought that was amazing stuff, man, what was going down at Wimbledon. But, of course, the big news, before I even get to the big news, I'll say this one point on the recap. When it comes to the MMA, I'm not the hugest diehard MMA fan. I'm not, you know, I obviously watch. I conveniently watch because, you know, it's good to see the fights. And I watched the John Jones fight card out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Even before that, the Amanda Nunes fight over Holly Holm, and that kick in that first round, man, Nunes is no joke. No, Holly Holm is the same lady. I remember back in 2015, she beat Ronda Rousey, roundhouse the shit out of her. But to see this 4 years later, Amanda Nunes is just dominating the sport, dominating that weight division of the women. Kudos to her doing what they do out there in the UFC for the women. I'll say this with the John Jones fight. I watched that, and I thought that they played it carefully, and that's why there was a split decision. The John Jones fight, he got out of that with a split decision. But the thing with the UFC and now what I really love, that they have the advantage over boxing. It seems like every week the UFC has nonstop fights every week, week in and week out. It's nothing but fights. Now, don't get me wrong. You can watch boxing. I mean, you have to be a real diehard kind of guy for the boxing. I mean, there's boxing, like, every week. I mean, you could go on there on a Tuesday, Wednesday on, like, you know, CBS Sports or some of these smaller sports networks, and then you could go to, you know, of course, MSG. You know, you could go to the networks and find fights like during the week, like Tuesdays, Thursdays. I mean, there's fights on. I mean, they're not major cards, but there's still fights nonetheless. And if you're into the tournaments, and if you're into the boxing series, they'll pop up here on the major networks, the NBCs, the CBSs, stuff like that. I had a sip of water, but that's the advantage the UFC has over the MMA has over the boxing. It's nonstop when it comes to that stuff. Really, really stuff, man. But I'll say this, man. The big news, of course, in the NBA. We'll probably touch upon some of it on Wednesday, but I'll try to get to the meat of it with the rest of the teams because of what happened over the weekend. And this is why I love our platform, and this is why I love the fact that we have knowledgeable sports fans that come on and they share their opinions. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some fans, whether they come on to the show or for the most part, they kind of parrot, they kind of echo, they kind of carbon copy off of somebody else's paper. They, you know, they hear what they see on these TV shows, and they take it and run with it. I love the fact that nobody, and I mean nobody, got it right when it came to Kawhi Leonard. Now, all the other players down, we could discuss this as far as the NBA. I know that we're going to get into a little bit of that on Wednesday. But particularly with Kawhi Leonard, I love the fact that nobody saw that coming. Not only that he was being signed to the Los Angeles Clippers, but the fact that Paul George, who was under contract in Oklahoma City because he signed that big contract after being traded from the Indiana Pacers in the Oladipo trade, I was shocked that that they were able to pull that off, and I'm pretty sure everybody else was. Nobody saw that coming, and I'm calling boo-hoo to all those who bought the hype. Logically, I thought that if it was up to me, and if I, you know, I'm not Kawhi, but if we all put ourselves in his shoes or whatever, I mean, you would think, you know, coming off the championship, probably title to a lot of money in Canada with off the field endorsements, pretty much you got the entire nation of Canada at your feet, not just an individual statement. You got all those provinces in Canada. You would think he was staying in Canada. You know, you think he would. You know, there was a shot that, you know, you had a ready-made team. You had Kyle Lowry coming back. You had Marcus Gasol coming back because he already had signed. Siakam was probably, you know, still on the table. I mean, your core off that championship team was still intact. So I would have thought, hey, man, if you were all about rings, you know, there's nothing wrong with staying. But I think at the end of the day, and I think this goes for most players in the NBA, a lot of them that travel with this AAU circuit, so they have got to see this country, and we have to let people know that this East Coast stuff, whether you're, you know, from Boston all the way down to D.C., I mean, those cities are hardcore sports fans, but the players itself in the winter, especially in the NBA, they will rather play in warm weather environments. That's just the truth overall, in general. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some players go to other places, like, you know, Boston. They'll sign with Boston. Major free agents like Kemba Walker did, you know, give him props. He did that. Or even years ago that, you know, when Wall re-signed with the Wizards. Even when the day that Embiid and Simmons' contract is up, are they going to stay in Philadelphia? I think chances are because of the Supermax situation. But in general, when it comes to the players, the NBA players, they would rather play in warm weather environments. That's kind of just the way it works. And the fact that with the L.A. Clippers, I can't blame Kawhi. I mean, you know, the Lakers was making a move for that max contract. I didn't really think he was going to go there. I thought the Raptors was probably the number one. You know, I didn't think – I'm not predicting. Like, I didn't have, like, inside, quote-unquote, inside sources, none of that bullshit. Because nobody knew what the fuck they were talking about, man. Nobody knew who had what type of information. I just thought logically it would have made sense to stay for a couple of years. Don't even go for the full 4 years, maybe two years with a player option. You know, something like that. Get a feel out, and if it doesn't work again, then go on and move. But, you know, it does in a way, you know, he had everything, all the leverage. It was in his corner. Nobody had no knowledge, no piece of information whatsoever. And it all made sense for Kawhi Leonard, Jerry West, Lawrence Frey, Doc Rivers, and I'll get to Doc Rivers in a second, and tie this all together, that not only he was able to go to L.A., to the Clippers, for the 4 years and 140-plus mil, I don't know how they were able to go to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I understand Paul George had his little issues with the front office. But to get all those picks, Oklahoma City, good job to you as far as all those first round picks and unprotected picks. Get him out of Oklahoma City because he's kind of from that Southern California area too, not necessarily L.A., but both those guys, both those cats are from suburban L.A. They lure him out of Oklahoma City, but the Clippers gave up a lot of future for that. I mean, we're talking about five first round picks. That's a lot of future right there, man. That's a lot of future, and they did that, man. Good job for the Clippers to move all their poker chips all in. They're saying with a team with Patrick Beverley, I think is an outstanding pit bull on defense. You could have a two guard coming off the bench in Lou Williams. You could have an interchangeable lineup with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and a lot of, you know, Kawhi Leonard's not going to play, but 60 to 65 games anyway, he's not going to play the whole 82 because it's been proven that he does not need to play the full 82. As long as he gets his rest, he consults with his doctors that he's going to get the maximum effort in the playoffs. As long as he's healthy, that's all that matters, especially in that tough-ass Western Conference. But anyway, the rest of the roster are made up. You know, they signed Zubac, the guy they got from the Lakers, and I don't know why the Lakers traded him last year. I don't know what the hell the management for the Lakers was doing last year. But they added all those guys, all right? Zubac, you got Montrezl Harrell, he's probably going to come off the bench. George, Kawhi. I mean, they could go Lou Williams. They got Shamit, the sharpshooting guard that they got from the Philadelphia trade with Tobias Harris last year. The Clippers are looking really, really nice on paper, man. They really are. Really, really good, man. Now, I go back to Doc Rivers because I remember a couple of years ago, Doc Rivers was running the entire show. This was after Donald Sterling was gone. He was the head coach. He was also the general manager and the president. I think that was, you know, because of that, he had a lot on his plate, you know, dealing with all kind of, you know, two different roles in a sense. And it's really hard. I mean, only the one guy in sports that I could think of that could really pull it off from a general manager to head coach perspective in sports in general is Bill Belichick. I mean, he's been proven that he knows what he's doing as a general manager. He knows when to let guys go, trade them, who's the draft. He knows their value. But in the NBA, Doc Rivers was kind of in the same role, but was not succeeding with those mediocre-ass L.A. Clipper teams with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan teams. They underachieved a lot. They would get to the second round, fizzle out. I think they may have gotten to the conference finals once. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think so. I remember they lost to the 3-1 series lead to the Houston Rockets 1 year. So Doc Rivers handing over the keys to general manager spot to the consultant to Jerry West and then Lawrence Frank in the front office. They have an excellent coaching staff. I think this was a hell of a move. For the Clippers over the last few years, revamping from the owner down. The owner is at all the Las Vegas Summer League games. He's all in with the pockets. He's putting up all that Microsoft money for the LA Clippers. You know the LA Clippers on one hand, I think they should leave LA. They should either go to Vegas or Seattle, but that's a story for another day. They're going to compete with fan share in the LA market, the Lakers market, where I think they could get more, they could get all the fans they want in Vegas or Seattle, but hey, a story for another day. You know, you could always build a new arena in those two cities. Well, matter of fact, you don't even have to build a new arena in Vegas. You can play at the T-Mobile Arena where the Vegas Golden Knights play. But I was, but from the top down, from Ballmer to Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, and the coaching staff, they are running a nice, beautiful, tight ship. They're going to be in the thick of things in that Western Conference. The Warriors are not the same because of the injuries. They lost Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson out with the ACL for the majority of the year. I know they got, D'Angelo Russell in the trade, I guess because of Kevin Durant. They didn't want to give up nobody. They're not the same Warriors team. They are highly, highly vulnerable. They're probably going to be about a 6th seed in the West this year because all the teams are just stacked, man. I mean, the Clippers, the Lakers. I mean, we'll get to the Lakers, too. Clippers, Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets. That's 4. The Blazers, 5. Jazz, 6. That's 6 right off the rip. So that includes, you know, maybe Dallas might sneak in there, maybe get you an 8th seed. Memphis is probably not ready yet. Oh, yeah, San Antonio. I would not sleep on the San Antonio Spurs as far as one of the 7, 8th seeds as well. So, I mean, the Clippers and the Lakers making noise in this NBA free agent season. We talked about, I think we may have discussed with this Anthony Davis stuff. And he added Boogie Cousins. You know, those guys paired up before the torn Achilles injury with Boogie Cousins in New Orleans. I mean, the reason why I like what they did because, there's some familiarity with Rondo, Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, who all played in New Orleans that one half a season when Boogie Cousins was traded from Sacramento to New Orleans. So they're all going to be playing together in L.A. in some shape or form. You got Kuzma. They added a couple of shooters with Danny Green for whatever it's worth, if he can make some shots. It hasn't been the same Danny Green since the San Antonio championship days as far as knocking down shots consistently. Avery Bradley was signed today. He's still a tough-minded pit bull. So, I mean, they got nice little pieces. They got Quinn Cook from Duke, who's on the Warriors, comes over with Boogie Cousins. So the L.A. Lakers, the Clippers, that's going to be some fun games to watch, man. That's probably going to be the Christmas Day game. I don't see why not. Lakers, Clippers, and Los Angeles. The Battle of L.A. It's in East Coast. You know, there's going to be a couple of East Coast games. Probably going to be Boston, Philly, maybe Knicks, and I don't know, Knicks and maybe Bucks again. They probably could run that again, or maybe mix and match the four teams I just said. But overall, this NBA free agency period of the Jazz, what they did with Ade Bogdanovic from the Indiana Pacers, they're going to be in the mix as far as competition and competing as well. Who else would I say, you know, around the league, the Summer League, we're going to talk about that part more so with on Wednesday. But every year we said this, the same thing on the podcast coming off the bye week with the recap. I love the format, man. I love the fact that, well, there's one thing I don't like, and they took it away. And they had the games in Orlando, but it wasn't open to the public. I wish they would have opened it to the public, because then you would have had a lot of people flocking to Orlando. Orlando is a huge tourism town, and people, you know, people like myself would have definitely made the trip to Orlando. As far as making it happen, if they had an open league, you know, maybe play that Central Florida or maybe the Amway Center, open up the lower bowl to the Amway Center. I mean, there's money making right there, man. But they move all the games to Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, Sacramento, California. They moved it to Vegas, all 32 teams. I mean, remember, at one point, remember, all 32 teams never played in Vegas. So they did that, and it's a great thing. Now, we all heard and saw the news with the earthquake. So I'm watching the Knicks game. So I'll bring this up on Wednesday as well. But I was watching the Knicks game like a lot of the Knicks fans were, because we wanted to see how these young boys are going to do. I'm impressed with Iggy Brazakis. I thought he played very well, especially in the second game versus the Phoenix Suns Summer League team. I thought he took control. He showed a lot of leadership in that game. RJ Barrett struggled. We're going to talk about that, and I'm not going to overreact, because that's kind of what he does. You know, he's a shot volume shooter. He's got to work on the shot. He's going to have a lot of time this summer to work on his jumper before opening night for the Knicks. I know he struggled, and he got a shot blocked, and looked more hesitant I have ever seen him. Maybe there was a bullseye on him. Some of it in that Pelicans game, and then a lot of it in that game versus the Phoenix Suns Summer League team, the RJ Barrett. But Alonzo Trier really, really showed out in game one versus the Pelicans. And he went up for that dunk. Well, no, he didn't went up for dunk. He did dunk it. He went and he flushed it on my man on the Pelicans. And as soon as that happened, that's when the building started rocking. You saw people in the stands started running for the exits. I thought it was hilarious. Now, after the fact, now I'm watching the news. I'm watching, even on social media, people who are on the West Coast who live in Southern California, mostly Southern California, not necessarily Vegas, but definitely Southern California. A lot of those people had, you know, it was because of the age of social media, they put it on their Instagrams. They put the waves, like I saw a couple of the videos, like people with the pools in the backyard with the waves crashing when the earth was shaking. So back in the arena in Vegas, I think a lot of people never experienced the earthquake, and they had to cancel the game, rightfully so. That was a smart move. You don't want to risk that. Was a lot. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. You do not want to continue a game. And you got those speakers hanging in the rafters, especially in the main arena of the Thomas and Mack Center. You got the speakers swaying, literally swaying. Don't know when it's going to stop, because you've never seen this before. You know, I don't think they've ever had a game in Vegas where they played a game and they had to stop it because of earthquake rumblings. So I'm over here laughing, watching the Knicks shit. The shit swaying, sway to sway, and they had to cancel that game. There's no way around it. But I thought the Knicks summer league team looked hella good. I thought it was fantastic, man. I thought they did an excellent job in the first half, running up the scores, the oops from the corner. Now I know when we talk about it on Wednesday, we're going to talk with Av and the guys on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I like the Wooten kid from Oregon. He's a sleeper. That guy got athleticism out the yin yang. I think he could play. I think his rebounding, his offensive rebounding, his quickness to jump and get blocked shots, I think there's a role for him on that last spot on the Knicks roster. I know we're going to talk about that on Wednesday more so. But to sum it up on this recap, and we'll bring on the stakeholders. I brought up the home run derby. I think it's still but one of the best things they got in All-Star Weekend, and I'm not really an All-Star Weekend guy in any sport no more at this point. I mean, I'd rather watch my shows and catch up, on my TV shows. That's how I look at All-Star Weekends. But the Home Run Derby, I'm kind of interested this year because of the sluggers that they put in there. I think there's some sleepers like Peterson, the Bell kid, Acuna. It's a sluggers, man. Bregman is a sleeper, even for a short guy. He's a sleeper. The NBA summer league, the NBA free agency was crazy. That's why I say, but the fans, that's why you can never take these pundits seriously, because none of these motherfuckers know what the hell they're talking about, man. They none of them. But anyway, bring on Chris and Kristen at the same damn time. This is a recap. I talked about Chris and Kristen. I was talking about the UFC fight. I don't know if you guys saw it. Amanda Nunes is a bad chick. Bones Jones got he got out of that one on the UFC side. Also, what I talked about with Kawhi, with the Clippers, the Western Conference is deep. And especially this week on the NFL, this Thursday, we're going to pick two divisions on in the NFL, and we're going to predict where they're going to finish on Thursday. I haven't picked them yet, but that's what we're going to do in July. Christopher and Kristen, welcome back, man. It's good to talk with y'all, man. Just freestyling.
What's going on?
How you doing? Hey.
Good. Everything's good. I can't complain.
Okay. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, Steve.
Man.
Well, I
you got insomnia.
It's 3 a.m.
It's an insomnia.
It's
3
a.m. I won't
keep you up. I know you're over there.
Chris, you go
so
first.
Let me get your thoughts.
No,
yeah, let me
okay.
get your thoughts
okay.
on the NBA
okay.
free agency.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on all that stuff, man, on the NBA?
Let Chris go.
Okay.
He's on the time limit.
Right. Well, my thought is that the Clippers are something to be reckoned with right now. That's what I'm thinking about. And I think the people who are really worried about that should be the people that they share the building with. It's going to be a really great show over there this year. But my other concern is, it's kind of a concern, because I haven't seen any, I'm just still talking basketball here. I haven't seen any word on Russell Westbrook yet, but he needs to go ahead. They need to go ahead and trade him, okay? He's only going to be unhappy. He doesn't need to be on that island by himself. And if you really want to make this an interesting league, he's got to go to the East somewhere. And I don't know what the... Like you said, you alluded to earlier, Steve, about pundits and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know what they're saying, and I don't care. I just know that they have to do this the right way. You can't stop the entire West up. I don't care what sport it is. You can't stop one particular conference up with everything and leave the other one just out there. Because basically that means from training camp, the race is over. That's how I look at it anyhow. So that's that, man. I think the Clippers have really made themselves a real great commodity and outstanding squad from the beginning, and I think they're going to really be a force to be reckoned with in the NBA this year. What was the second question? See, I forgot, man.
No, just anything, man. Anything with sports. I brought it up earlier. The young lady Coco, 15-year-old phenom in the Wimbledon. I watched a lot of sports,
amazing.
Man. I had to mention because I can't remember a 15-year-old dominate. I know she got ounced today, but still, I mean, that's 15 years
right.
old, man. Come on, 15 years old versus grown women. That's
what's
oh
that?
Yeah,
what's
the U.S.
That?
Women's
grade?
Soccer congratulations.
Wimbledon champ. Yeah, absolutely.
What's that? The 10th grade, something like that. 9th grade, 10th grade?
Probably.
It's unbelievable. And she hung in there.
Yeah.
She's only going to get better with the right – again, it always goes back to what I'm always preaching about athletes. Give them the right surroundings / coaching class and mentoring and watch what happens. You got to do that. You know, you just can't say, oh, they're a phenom and leave them out there to dry. You see that all the time in Major League Baseball, which particularly with pitchers. You know, you just can't do that. You have to take care of your product. And I think she's one of these people that is just going to blossom with the right surroundings, and I think it's going to be fantastic. Let me tell you guys something really cool, though, right now, man. This is actually hilarious. It's like a morgue around here, man. It's the Netherlands girls got bounced yesterday, or it was the day before. It's crazy, man. It was, hey, look, it was loud here, man. It was like they had their own little Independence Day kind of thing going on because the Netherlands ladies never really did anything. It was always the guys. And, man, they had celebrations, billboards. Every different district had something going on, TVs in the middle of a square in Amsterdam and Rotterdam. It was the bomb out this bad boy. Everybody hugging, sharing drinks, all of that. When the USA girls, though, did their thing after that second penalty kick, like show over. Everything was dark. Place was quiet. Traffic, just all the street lights were honking, all that. That just ceased. Like on the, it sounded like
dance show.
It was over. People just went home. Bars closed up. People sipped their last little drink, put it on the counter, walked the hell on out. Everybody, the train station got full. It was looked exactly like a Hollywood set all over the country. Everything just shut down. I just watched it. And I said, you guys just can't give up like that. And they did. They did. They just went home. And we're talking about, and I'm in the small, my house is in a place called Zeist, and that's part of the district of Utrecht, which is one of the major cities along with Rotterdam, of course, Amsterdam out here. And, man, it was a rap. The music stopped. I mean, because, you know, they do discos all night out this bad boy. Nobody was disco nothing. They were... I've never seen that before. It was just, I'm like, y'all cannot be serious with this. And the answer I got was that one. It was crazy, man. I've never seen it. But, hey, on the other side, I knew the USA girls would come through, man. And this is a very historic thing also. This means a lot for ESA. Right. This means a lot for prestige of sport. And, you know, just empowerment, man. I mean, shoot, Title IX was, what, 40, almost 50 years ago. So these things are going to really, really set things in motion. I really think that was an enormous, enormous victory in more ways than one. So big ups and congratulations, man, to the women's soccer team. Well, football over here. To the football team. But, hey, man, I'm really, really proud of that. Other than that, man, I don't have nothing else to say. I'm going to bounce it over to Christian. Yankees are kicking that ass. I like it. I know they lost yesterday. I don't care. We're still going to roll. It's right now, this is not a fluke, because last I looked, it's July 8th. And to my estimation, a week from now starts of unofficial pennant race time. And let me tell you something. They're just going to keep it moving. All right?
Right.
They're just going to keep it moving. Let's just, you know, start planning our attendance to the playoff games and the whole nine yards, because it's going to be the bomb. I'm sorry. I just kind of went there, too. I lost my. Oh, okay, I'm better. I'm back now. Christian, my love, take you home. What's going on?
Hi, Chris. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Well, yeah, shout out to the women. They did their thing. I'm so proud of them.
Oh, yes, they did.
There's no, you know, any sports fan will tell you, when you actually go to the game, there's nothing like being at the game.
No.
And there's certain crowds that are simply amazing and that are so energetic. It's like a concert. You don't sit down for a second. You're paying for a seat, but you rarely sit down.
Right.
That type of energy. Like, ridiculous.
Yep.
And
yep.
Soccer is one of them. It's crazy. And I think this is, what, four for them now?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
This will be four. So yeah, listen, that, oh my God, just amazing. All around good play. The way they pass the ball, they just make it look so easy and effortless. I loved it, mm-hmm. and it was awesome. I'm just so proud of them. Softball, on the other hand, didn't do so well, but that's another story. I think they lost to Mexico, I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they lost to Mexico. But anyway, and they're a very good team, very good team. I mean, these girls can ball out. But yeah, well, back to the Yankees. I'm super excited. Yeah, they didn't have a great. It was a split this weekend, and that's all right. I can handle that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a blowout. You know what I mean? It was, you know, PAX actually. I was pretty impressed with PAX. To tell
mm-hmm.
you the truth, what did he have? 11 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched well.
He did his thing for the most part. Yeah, he made some hiccups. But I do. The thing with us is we need a pitcher desperately.
It's coming.
Rumor mill's talking about Wheeler, and we're interested in Wheeler, so we're the Sox. So it's like,
no, I'm good.
I don't know what to believe right now. I don't want to believe anything like that.
No,
it's like, whatever.
No. It's not about, it's not about rumor mill. It's about what do you think makes the most sense? It's the same thing I ask about when we talk about Kawhi Leonard. What makes sense? Where you think he's going to go? Don't believe these pundits and what they say.
You know what I
obviously
believe?
They
we
don't
believe.
They talk about.
I want Max Scherzer, plain and simple. I don't give a damn about anybody.
So now if it's Max Scherzer, now you know we're going to have to give up some current guys on the roster. Now who are you willing to give up? Mm-hmm. We're talking like
I don't know. That's
Frazier, it may have
okay.
to throw
well,
in one
go
of the infield.
Let's go with Bumgarner. Okay. I get it. And plus, he's got a back strain, I think, right now, doesn't he?
I don't
Didn't he pull his back or
him,
something
man.
Like that?
You want Bumgarner.
Well, Bumgarner?
Definitely, I want
yeah.
Bumgarner.
He's decent.
I don't.
He's a good ball player. I think he's decent. He's not asking for a ton of money.
Look what he does for you playoff time. Look what he does. That's why I want him.
Been a few seasons though.
I'll take it. He's a money guy. Each and every time. When it counts, he shows up. And that's
right.
What I want. We need that. We've gone a long an eternity. 10 years without a World Series.
Right. Right.
I'm a little
but the thing
there.
Is with us, we still don't have that ace. So it's like that's why we have to rotate all our guys the way we do in order to get the
Absolutely.
Quality that we need.
I agree.
I get that part.
We're
getting a pitcher.
We're getting a pitcher,
but it's just a matter of who. It's all about preference. So you're more for,
right.
I think you said Scherzer first and Bumgarner second. If I'm, Bumgarner to me
Max
is not the
Scherzer's
same
gonna
dominant
be a little out
guy.
Of reach. That's my dream.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's gonna cost you some current players. Now, if you're willing to give up like Urshela or somebody it's gonna cost.
That's
you know what I'm saying.
It's not gonna be just one guy. It's gonna be a couple of guys.
Yeah, definitely.
I get it. Yep.
It's definitely gonna be a handful of guys. So it's not just gonna be Gio. They're gonna be like, oh, Gio, and you understand what I'm saying? They're taking at least five.
I get it.
They're going to take at least five.
Right.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Right. It's going to cost a someone like Stroman is cool with me. I would argue for Stroman from the Blue Jays. I'm cool with that. I hear a lot of the people talking about Wheeler. I watched that Wheeler performance versus the Phillies the other day. He looked terrible.
Wheeler's had his moment where he could be good. He can be good.
Yeah, the kid
can be good, but he's just not consistent enough for me. He's not consistent enough for me.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
To
right.
spend the money and take
I'm
over
not buying
this guy.
That. I'm not buying that.
I'm good. Like,
we were talking
about a Pinto and a Ferrari, right? Weren't we making that distinction before? Why are we going to get something used when I could get some brand new, state-of-the-art, 100%, like, crazy, tricked out, everything, ready to go? That's what we need.
The only thing – I mean, it depends on this pitcher because, I mean, it could come down to playing keep away. I mean, somebody like the Red Sox or the Twins may be looking at him. You don't want to use that. I mean, if it doesn't cost that much to get him, you know that he's already in New York, so you don't have to worry about it. Okay, maybe on him. But I'm not high on him like a lot of people are. I don't see why the hype. I watched that game closely versus the Phillies the other day. He got rocked. I'm like,
yeah,
this is ridiculous. I'm cool on that. But Stroman for me, but regardless, nonetheless, it's a moot point because the pitcher's coming. We already know that. I mean, that's
right.
Coming before the trade deadline. After the break, that's coming in the next couple of weeks. So we'll figure out what Cashman is going to do. What about the NBA, Kristen? And I'll go back to Chris. What about anything else on the NBA? You seen anything with the free agency or nah?
I really didn't. I really didn't get a chance. I've been working like crazy. And but as far as still talking about KD and all this, but he's done. He went with – who did he go with? He went with
the Nets. Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Did he go with the Nets? Yeah, he went with the Nets.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
I mean, good for them. I just – for me, it wasn't – after that man got injured, all bets were off for me. The
real
minute
talk.
He did that, honestly, that's my feeling.
Right. I agree with that.
We're not that desperate. I don't want anything used and beat up. You're already shot. All these guys have to do is come down wrong one time, and it's a wrap, and they're out for the season.
That's true, but I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? Once you start getting injured
you're
want a baby, you're not at your full potential. You're kind of holding back a little bit. You're not giving it. I can't take that chance. For me, I don't want to take that chance.
KD's an unusual situation, though, I think. I think he's exceptional. I think that he's going to probably come back from this. A lot of people can't. But I think he's determined to show the world that he's not used up and that he's got more to prove. And I think he's going to do it. I really have faith in that. I really think he will.
Right.
I really think he will.
Well, I wish him well wherever, I wish him well with the Nets. God bless him, but it's just not, after that injury for me, my heart sank. I was like, oh, that was it. Okay, next.
I guess I'm kind of, you know,
these guys. Everybody I could think of that injury. You go back, even go back into the day, like Chris, Elgin Baylor, cats like that, Dominique, Pat Ewing, Leslie Matthews, who was undrafted, Kobe. None of them dudes was never the same, man. So I can't.
Kevin
Durant.
I
don't like to judge. I don't want to judge a book by his cover, but to me, Kevin Durant, he ain't a workout warrior. Remember, he was, he's a baller. He ain't the type of dude that's going to be in the gym, making sure the muscles is right. He's a skinny dude, the cat you're talking about, Chris?
One was exceptional, and I have faith in this. His name was Bernard King. Bernard King had one of the worst ever knee injuries there ever was. It was disgusting, man. And it was just, that was back in 85. He was leading the league in scoring, and he was one of those go at it kind of cats. He never really worked out like they do today. And when he destroyed his knee, he worked really hard for 2 years to put it back together. But the Knicks were like, nah, we can't really take that chance. Needless to say, he went on to become a three-time All-Star after that. He was actually better than he was before he got hurt. So it can be done. And some guys have come back, and they probably did not play at the – this is my opinion. I don't think LeBron James is ever going to be that LeBron that we saw. Okay? He won't be back like that. But he will be formidable enough. So I think Kevin Durant is one of those kinds of players. I think he's one of these guys that – And he's taking advice from the right folks too, his peers. He hangs out with the Anthony Davises and the Kawhi Leonards of the world, Kyrie's of the world. So he understands what's happening.
So I don't know. I think I have faith in this guy. I really do
Bernard didn't have a torn Achilles though.
No.
A ruptured Achilles, whatever it is.
He was a knee. He blew his knee.
That was a knee.
All of that is what my point is. All of it is difficult, but I think this guy might have something. He might be on to something. That's all. And only time will tell.
You know what? It's also like Tommy John surgery. Same thing.
Yes.
Some people come back from it, and and they do what they do with the proper conditioning and the right physical therapy, and you add it every day, and you're trying to get stronger. And there's other guys that just fall back, and they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Like Didi, for instance. I mean, look at this guy. Look at the defensive plays that he makes. It's incredible. And he's not afraid. He knows he's good. He's getting back into his groove. I know in the beginning he was a little rusty, and he just dusted that off, and he's good now. He's playing smart ball.
What do you think his incentive is?
What do I think? I'm sorry?
What do you think his incentive is? Didi.
His incentive?
Right, his incentive.
To be the best he can be and to, you know, still be a part of the Yankees, and
I think that's a great motivator. He knows how close he is to getting a ring. And
absolutely.
He knows what his worth is to this team. And he's going to make it happen.
Because they all contribute. Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got many superstars, so there's not one that outshines the other, which is so great this year. I mean, we have a little bit of sparkle everywhere.
LeMahieu has shot the living
Look at DJ.
Jesus
I'm
out of
telling
me.
You. I'm talking about this guy. He has been MVP for me I'd give it to him for the month. All last month. DJ has been on point, and he should have been leading off. I was so happy to see him lead off, finally. I was like, thank you, Boone. It's about time. Let's set this shit off, and let's get this motor running. That's it. And he does. And 90% of the time he hits that ball. It's very rare that that kid strikes out. Very rare. And if not, he adjusts accordingly. That's what's good about DJ. That kid is a smart, young ball player. He was good for the Rockies, but right now, he was like a diamond in the rough. You know, he shined with you guys, but you guys see him with us. Like, crazy. What's he batting three?
Right, hold on, Kristen. I was going to say, hold on, Kristen. Now, we got all the sports on the table. U.S. women's soccer. I brought up the MMA fights, the NBA free agency. Let's get Dominic's opinion on this Blues Day recap. We do these episodes after every bye week. Our next bye week is going to be Labor Day week. But my man Dominic, we're talking all sports, man. Anything on your mind, man? I know the Home Run Derby's on. We got the NBA free agency, Summer League. We got the NFL coming around the corner. What's on your mind on anything, man? What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. What's up, Godfather?
Hey.
You know what, Steve? I forgot all about it because I was watching the Home Run Derby, but I actually was listening for a few minutes before I actually hit the button. And I heard y'all talking about the injury and Durant and all of that. So the one thing I noticed, guys and ladies, is we haven't seen nobody like Durant with an injury like this. Most of the guys we have named had some weight to them where – he don't carry a lot of weight, so he's not carrying that extra baggage, pounding and pounding and pounding. But nobody knows what's going to happen. Let's just be honest. I just look at his makeup, his physique, where we haven't seen a guy like this either blow out an Achilles, an ACL, a knee, with that kind of body configuration. And we all know how much Kevin Durant loves playing basketball, so I think the working out thing, I'll tell you what, guys, if he's not a gym rat or whatever people say he is or isn't, he's effective at what he does. So I got faith in him. I'm not one of those Knicks fans that hate this and hate that. I wish him the best, you know. The only thing that annoys me about all of that and all the free agency is I want to get to the point where we at least get a sit down with somebody. That was our goal, remember? We always talked about that.
Exactly.
We're gonna get a sit down with, you know, these guys blew the suspense out the water. I mean, the NBA moved the time up, to 6 o'clock instead of midnight, and guys had made up their mind at like 5:30, quarter to 6. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy committed to that team. This guy committed to that team. I just want to get to the point where we're taken semi-seriously, where somebody would say, you know what, let me at least give the Knicks a chit-chat. You know, see where they're going with this combination of youth and, you know, the Fizdale pipe dreams, whatever you want to call it. Just give us a chance to sell what we've got. You know, because to me, guys, I say it all the time, Steve. I can't give nobody a kudo for getting the third pick because you suck. I really can't give them a big kudo for getting Randle because I said this the last time. I wanted the Knicks to get Randle, but I thought that was going to be a no-brainer too because what was his other option? So until you pull a rabbit out your hat, something that's going to shock me, and say, well, you know what? We at least put this on the table with, let's say, a Durant, anybody, even a mid, don't have to be the top free agent, just a mid-level good free agent. And I understand you're picking and choosing for what you're trying to do, which, again, I go back to, I'm so confused with what they're trying to do. You know, we brought in another point guard, and here we go again with the point guard merry-go-round and round. But I look at it this way, Steve. This is what you pick. This is the pieces you got. You can't give me no more alibis. You can't give me no more of this development and, you know, rotations every 2 minutes, starting fives, different every other game. No more of that. No more. You got what you wanted. This is the product you sold us. Now let's see this start to flourish. You don't have to win a chip. I want to see improvement. I want to see some wins. I don't want to see 25 wins. You don't get kudos for winning 8 more games than you won last year when you only won 17. But, hey, I'm a Knicks fan. You know, going back to the Yankees, though, Steve, I'm glad I'm on the line with some intelligent people because I can remember when the Yankees got the LeMayus and the this piece and the that piece and everybody was getting ready to jump off the bridge when we were 6-10. Because we didn't get Harper, we didn't get Machado. It's like nobody. It's like nobody read LeMayu's stats. The guy's a 299 lifetime hitter. You know what? We can't do research. Research is at our fingertips now. And now he comes to the Yankees, and oh my God, this guy ain't as bad as I thought. No, he's never been as bad as you thought. You just never knew him. He didn't take the time to research his career. You know what, and to go back to Godfather's question, Didi also has another incentive. If I'm not mistaken, his contract is up.
Is it contract? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah,
right. He's playing for a contract, guys. You could love the Yankees all you want. You know, you could want to wear them pinstripes for the rest of your life. But if you ain't producing, then your contract is up, and somebody may offer Didi more money. That's where you find out where that loyalty to the pinstripes is.
That's
you know,
right.
You got to remember, I love Didi, guys. Don't get it twisted.
Yep.
I always thought he was the stir. I always thought he was the stir that stirred that drink. And you know what? He really is. I mean, LeMayu right now, he's the MVP of the Yankees. Let's not get it twisted. The guy's hitting like 1,000 with runners in scoring position. He's batting 3-something. He's an all-star.
Yep.
But this isn't nothing new. Look at his stats. The guy's always been a good hitter. I think we had this conversation once before, Steve. You know, we looked at the shock and awe with the free agents, but we didn't look at, you know, raw skills that LeMayu has. I mean, and the Yankees did. They did find some diamonds in the rough, too. Let's not get it twisted. They got what they got more than what they got. But the bottom line is, guys, with all of this bridge jumping, we're about a game and a half up on the best record in the American League. It was only 5 minutes ago when 3 or 4 teams had a better record than us in the American League. And now all of a sudden we're sitting with the best record, all the injuries. And when the injuries come off the shelf, it's going to be like we hit pay dirt at the trade deadline without trading for nobody. We're going to get our own players back. So for those that want to jump off the ledge and say, oh, we need to get this, we need to get that, pump your brakes, people. We're going to get the Severinos back. The Patances is back. The Stantons back. Right in time for this stretch run and a playoff push without without giving up nothing in the farm, we're actually going to get our own players back without having to give up a prospect, another position player. And then let's see where let's let the chips fall where they may, guys. I mean, I'm tired of hearing certain things. You know, the Astros got such a great pitching staff. Man, look those numbers up too, guys. They got a little better pitching staff than the Yankees. I say little better when it comes to sheer numbers. And the Yankees have did pretty damn well against them. I don't think the Yankees have a losing record against anybody in our own division. So that's another plus. And this mm-hmm. ship just keeps on sailing along, guys. It's something special. But if you've been watching this since 2017 without jumping off the bridge, thinking we was going to win a World Series the next year when we had a bunch of 22, 23-year-olds, you didn't want to let this progress. And now that it's progressing, you see the picture. Something I always say about the Knicks, they don't show me that two-step, three-step ahead plan. The Yankees showed me this in 2017, guys. Yes, I'd love to win a ring, but I see this plan, and I see this plan coming to fruition, and I'm just going to sit back, and I'm going to enjoy the ride, guys. You know, as far as all that other sports talk, the World Cup, I really don't like it. I'm not going to get into the dragging my flag on the ground. That's something for another day. But I'm just into baseball and basketball, Steve, and I'm hoping for the best with the Knicks. You know, I like what I hear Dennis Smith Jr. say. He's bringing a little bravado. You know, we need to make the playoffs. You know, if things go right, we need that. Whether it comes to fruition or not, we need that kind of bravado back on our team. Not none of this fly-by-night stuff, everybody trying to get their numbers in January when we're out of the playoff picture, we're thinking about draft picks.
What about Russell Westbrook bravado on the Knicks?
Well, you know what? I'm a Westbrook guy. I'm just going to say that out loud.
I know you are.
I like Russell Westbrook.
I like that.
And you know what's funny, Steve? I look at the Knicks and their so-called makeup. I look at a guy like Russell Westbrook on the Knicks who could probably put a shot in some people's arms when it comes to motor, Kevin Knox. It wouldn't be that bad of a thing.
Wow.
I mean, Kevin Knox might need a guy like Russell Westbrook to put a fire under his you-know-what. You know, Russell Westbrook, say what you want about him, guys. I mean, again, Steve, I had this conversation with you. It took 54 years for somebody to get a triple-double. Now Westbrook's done it for 3 years in a row. We want to diminish a triple-double now. So that's for the naysayers. That's for the talking heads. But I'll tell you what, Steve, if I was a Knick, I wouldn't mind having him on my team, especially with that youth, because he's going to at least show them energy, workout, work ethic. You know, you can say whatever you want about him. Oh, guys don't play well with him. No, don't bring that up to me. Oklahoma City can't afford to keep nobody. That's why they should have stood in Seattle, where they had a good fan base. They had some money. They had the guy that owned Starbucks. They wanted this fly-by-night plan. Again, watch the documentary, Sonic Gate. See how all this unfolded. Seattle got hoodwinked, and now it's coming to fruition. I don't care what you say about the fans in Oklahoma City. They can't afford to keep many top-notch players. It's that simple. Sorry, but it's that simple. So don't give me the alibi that nobody works well with Westbrook. Please don't bring up Melo. Ship had sailed by the time he got there. So to me, I like Westbrook. I don't think he'd hurt any organization, especially one with a lot of young players that need some direction, need some fire. I mean, damn, the closest thing you would get to him is Jimmy Butler, and we couldn't get an interview with him either. So, hey, I love the talk, Steve, that we're going with the youth. Just finish the sentence. We're going with the youth because we have no other option. And I'll be happy. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm going to be a Knicks fan. Whether we have Durant, Wilt Chamberlain, Willis Reed, or Dennis Smith Jr., I'm going to be a Knicks fan. But at least show me something. Give me an interview, man. Let me know that you might be interested. So far, not so good when it comes to that, guys. I'm sorry to be the Debbie Downer, but it hasn't happened in the last few
years.
Nobody has gave us an interview. Yes, sir.
We'll be on Wednesday. We'll have that talk on Wednesday, 9 o'clock, on the Avs Fan Forum on that. We'll talk about that on the fan forum on that. Kristen, there's some final thoughts from you, Kristen. And Chris, I know you're overseas. Final thoughts from you too, Chris. Kristen, final thoughts from you. And then Chris, and then we'll wrap up. And Don, we'll definitely talk more of the hoop stuff on 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Kristen, final thoughts.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity, guys, tonight. It was great talking to everybody. It was always. I'm glad I caught it in time. But I just hope Severino comes back. But I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I think he's going to sit out this season. Heard anything about him. I haven't heard any injury report, no, nothing. So it's like, I think they're going to sit him out the year, honestly. I don't think he's going to come back. You know, we're midway, so it's like no word, no nothing, and we're looking for another pitcher. So I think he's going to sit this one out. But thank you guys for the opportunity. Go Yankees, go Knicks, go Rangers, go Giants. I love all of them. But I think we're in for a better year for all of our sports teams. I think we're really underestimating everybody. Well, not our Yankees, obviously, but other three. I think that we're going to do a lot better than people expect to do, that we're going to do, honestly. I honestly believe that. So thank you for the opportunity. And bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Hopefully we get to hear from you on Thursday on the football. Dominic, if you are more than welcome on that episode. It's actually going to be, we're talking two divisions each week, two divisions, month of July. We're going to see how they finish based off current rosters. So, Dom, as a Jet guy, you're more than welcome to join the Big Blue Roundtable. We get into that right before training camp hitting on August, end of July, early August. Kristen and Dom and Chris had to go. Blues Day recap. We're off the bye week. It's good to hear and talk sports with the stakeholders. We'll be back for the baseball next Monday, post game versus the Rays. It's like we played the Rays like a million times this year. But we got the Rays game Monday night next Monday. We'll have the discussion of Bleeding Yankee Blue and Kristen and KGYR gang. And other Yankee fans next Monday after the game versus the Rays. We got the Rangers this Tuesday, got the Knicks and the NBA on Wednesday, and got the football on Thursday. Kristen and Dom, it's great to hear from y'all, man. It's good to be back, man. It feels like I've been gone for a minute, man. But you know how we do. Sangria Azul will be back rest of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then, of course, on BleedBlueShow.com and iTunes Podcast Republic, so on and so forth. Have a good evening. We'll talk soon.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.